Joy Tuesday nights because there's lots of good deals on Tuesday nights. Have you ever signed that? Did you guys know that Totem Theater has $2 movies on Tuesday nights? Did you guys know that? This is pretty, and half price popcorn. That's pretty awesome. So Aaron and I this Tuesday night we went out to Olive Garden. We got some food. And it was great. Obviously, what else would you get at Olive Garden? Went out to Olive Garden and bought a lawnmower. No, that doesn't. We went out and got food at Olive Garden. And it was a lot of fun. But Aaron, every time I take Aaron out to eat, she gets a little bit embarrassed with me. How many people know in life there's some, like, there's gray areas? You know what I'm talking about? There's, like, gray areas of life. So, now, at Olive Garden or... what's the other place? Texas Roadhouse. What's the best part about Texas Roadhouse? The buns. All right. Definitely the buns. Definitely the bread. Hands down. You could just like go and order a milkshake there and just eat buns the entire time and be like, this was the best meal ever. All right. But every single time we're out to eat, normally we'll have like a little bit of food left over. We ask for a box or something. You know, hey, you want to take that home? Yeah, of course. And I always embarrass Aaron because I ask, I'm like, hey, you know, if you like threw in like 5 or 6 extra dinner rolls in that box, I wouldn't be mad at you, is what I tell the waitress or the waiter. And Aaron always gets embarrassed because she's like, Steve, that's ridiculous. All right. You've eaten like 25 rolls at a Texas Roadhouse. You don't need to have any more. Those puppies are 500 calories a piece, by the way, in case you were wondering. I looked it up. Wow. All right. Amazing, all right? But the reason I share that is because now I'm not like shoving food in my purse. I'm not that guy. What? Not that I have a purse. Let me just clarify. Man, in my satchel or whatever it is. Obviously, I think you've kind of gone beyond the gray area at that point. Some of you are like, no, Steve, that's definitely still the gray area. That's totally fine. But I kind of embarrass Aaron every once in a while with asking for extra bread. I think that there's a lot of gray areas that we, or sometimes gray areas can be a little bit tricky in our lives, you know what I mean? Like there, we think, well, yeah, there's black and white, and then there's like this gray area, and sometimes it's awkward to be in the gray area, especially if you're in a relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are we really? We're like trying to define this thing. It's a gray area. And I think sometimes in our lives, we actually, we create gray areas for the sake of comfort, okay? And in our spiritual lives, I want to talk about gray areas in our spiritual lives tonight. Because sometimes in our spiritual lives, we make gray areas out of areas that were always meant to just be black and white, cut or dry. Things that God has asked us to do, or commanded us to do in his word, that he never meant for us to have compromise in, and we come up with some excuses, we come up with some things to, you know, God clearly asks us to do something, whether it be in his scripture or you know, him telling, laying it on our hearts that we're supposed to do something, whether it be conviction or a command or a calling. And we ask ourselves a lot, I don't know, God. I don't know if I heard you right. Has anybody ever been there before? We get scared or fearful, or we're like, oh, that would be really hard. That could not have possibly been what you meant, God. You know what I'm saying? It's got quiet in here really fast. I think that more and more, the Bible says that we are in danger of becoming a generation that only hears what our itching ears want to hear. And the Word of God is really clear about that, I think, because God knows that we love shoving things into the gray area that are never really meant to belong there. You know what I'm saying? The gray area is a really dangerous place to be and live in spiritually because it causes a lot of frustration, misguidance, distraction. And there's some people in here today, I really do believe this, that are frustrated with God because you feel like he's not hearing you. You feel like God is not responding to you. You feel like he's not blessing you. You feel like he's not speaking to you. He's not guiding you. And all the while, there's been a significant amount of disobedience you've been walking in. And he says, hey, listen, I told you about what I wanted you to do next back here. And you've been frustrated with me because I haven't given you the next instruction. In reality, I've already given you the instruction that I wanted you to follow, and you're not following this over here. And I think that God has some pretty serious things to say about this. I want you to hear my heart on this. God loves you no matter what, right? He loves you no matter what. How many people believe that in here? He does. His love for you is unconditional. And that's the beautiful thing about God. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God's love never changes. But I think sometimes we confuse God's love and being in God's will. You see, God loves you no matter what. All of you are loved by God, but not all of us are always in the will of God. We are always in God's love, but we're not always walking in the will of God, right? Because we're sinners. We sometimes get distracted by the things in this world. And I think sometimes we get in this trend or this funk when we say, God, I really want you to be obedient to me, but I'm not willing to be obedient to you. You know what I'm saying? And we get frustrated when God doesn't do what we want or do as I say or speak to me the way I want him to speak to me, and we're not willing to be obedient to ourselves. And here's the deal about God, guys, is that he is a covenantal God. What does that mean? God loves covenants. And a covenant is just a big fancy biblical word for an agreement. He loves agreements. He loves making us promises, and he loves interacting with us through those promises. So the Bible is split into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? Testament is just a fancy word for covenant, and so the Old Covenant or the Old Agreement and the New Agreement. And the Old Covenant, God's agreement with his people had to do with obedience. He said, hey, if you follow my commands, it will go well with you. And he brought forth this big, long, what we call the law. And it was this long set of rules as to how to be obedient to the will of God in our lives. The problem is that those laws were like not achievable by man. And so God brought a new covenant through Jesus Christ. And he said, hey, the new covenant is this, is that whosoever would believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior would not die, but would have eternal life. So here's what we got to know before we talk about anything else, is that God is a God of covenants. He's a God of agreements, and he's a God who asks for our obedience. But here's the cool thing about God, is that when God makes an agreement with us, we always get the better end of the bargain. We really do. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said, hey, all you have to do is make me the Lord and Savior of your life, and then I'm going to give you eternal life. Like, here's a really simple decision that you have to make, and then this is everything you get over here. And yet, for some reason, when we hear the word obedience, we, kind of clam up a lot, right? Like, oh, God, I don't want anything to do with that. Guys, God is offering you a really, really good deal when it comes to obedience. Amen? What's up? Okay, go for it. The title of this message is Great Obedience. We'll call it that, okay? Great Obedience. Hey, there you go. All right, so we're going to look at the Old Covenant we're going to look at the Old Testament tonight because God is the same God yesterday as he is today. And I was convicted a little bit that I haven't preached from the Old Testament a whole lot this year. And so we're going to go there. We're going to go to the book of Haggai, all right? Some of you are like, I didn't even know that was a word. Haggai is a minor prophet, and we're going to look at some people in the book of Haggai that God is speaking to that I think have a lot in common with us. So Haggai was a minor prophet, which there's nothing really minor about prophets. We just call them that because it's a smaller book. And what Haggai is saying, and if you're looking for the book of Haggai, if you find the Gospels in the middle of your Bible, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, just turn back a couple books. So it's kind of towards the end of the Old Testament. It should be almost smack dab in the middle of your Bible. Haggai was what, kind of give you a little bit of a background of Haggai, okay? So Haggai was a prophet, which meant that he was speaking a word for God on God's behalf. And what's happening in history right now is the Israelites, God's people that he had a covenant with, were not following the agreements that God had commanded them to agree or to follow. And so 70 years prior to this book, and it's like B.C., like 587, God said, listen, if you're not going to be obedient, I'm gonna get your attention some way. And God sent the Babylonians to come and conquer Israel. And for 70 years, the Israelites were captured and brought into the land of Babylon as captives, okay? And then finally, Babylon said, okay, we're going to let you go back to your country. And so they go back to their country, but the problem was is that 70 years ago, when Babylon came in and took over, they destroyed the entire city, they tore down all the walls, and the temple of God in the middle of the city was crushed and destroyed and broken, which is really, really sad because Solomon's temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, right? So, like, this was a really awesome thing, and they tore it all apart, and it was their city was in ruins. And so they all get back home after being gone for 70 years. They go back to this place. Most of them had never even lived in Jerusalem before. They come back to this place, and their town is in ruins. And so what do they go to do? They say, all right, let's go rebuild. And guess what they start with? They start by rebuilding their houses. Noble thing to build, right? But God says, no, 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 no. You guys missed it. I asked you to do something else. And so Haggai brings a message from God, and this is what it says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. In other words, the temple, all right? So the center part of their faith and of their following of God. The time has not come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? He's talking about his own house. So God's trying to get their attention here. He said, hey, you're paying attention to your own houses, and the temple of God, the number one priority in your life, is laying in ruins and nobody cares about it. Now this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Now listen to this. You have planted much, but it harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in your purse with holes in it. How many people have ever felt like life is going this way before? I have this job, but where did all my money go? I'm working harder than I've ever worked, and I feel like I don't have anything to show for it. This was what was happening to the Israelites because God had commanded them to do something that they said, okay, we're going to get around to that later. But right now we have to worry about myself, and I got to build my own house, and then I'll do what God has asked me to do. And because of that, they stepped out of the blessing of God on their life. Now listen to this. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. In verse 7, go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Essentially, God is saying, listen, you guys are walking in disobedience here, and that's why your plans are not working. So skipping ahead, it says this. the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai. Because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. So they get turned around finally, and they do what God has commanded them to do. And blessing returns to Israel, and it's a beautiful thing. And so it goes on to say this, they came and began the work on their house, and this is verse 14. And on, verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord's people. I am with you. Listen to this. I am with you, declares the Lord. So in other words, the Lord said, okay, good. Finally, we're back on track, and I'm tracking with you now. And I'm back with you. Guys, I think a lot of times what we do is God asks us to do something, and we say, well, no, not yet. Or we say, maybe later. Or we say, no, that's not what God actually meant. And then we get frustrated when he's not blessing what it is that we're trying to do and conjure up in our own strength and in our own power. That is exactly what the Israelites were doing. And so how do we avoid this in our lives? Well, I have three questions that I want you guys to ask ourselves tonight. And the first one is this. What is the last thing God has asked me to do? And have I done it? If you're frustrated because God's not listening, if you're frustrated because you feel like God isn't blessing you, you feel like he's not hearing you, you feel like you're just hitting a wall when he talks to you, maybe, just maybe, it's that God has asked you to do something that's pretty clean cut, it was pretty clear, and you said, no, I don't want anything to do with that. God, this is how I want you to speak to me. I think this can happen in a lot of areas of our lives. Maybe we can start with the basic, the base level stuff, the first step stuff. Maybe God has said, hey, I want your life. I want full commitment from you. I want you to accept me as your Lord and as your Savior. And we're not quite ready to do that yet, and yet we're expecting God to somehow direct and guide all of our steps, and we have not just at the very base, accepted a personal relationship with him and given him our whole lives. Maybe that's you tonight and God wants to do that. Maybe for you it's some sin area of your life. You say, God, I've given you this much of my life, but there's this area, there's this unrepentant sin, this sin that I don't want to give up. And you've kept it in your life. And now you're angry at God because somehow there's trouble, there's pain, there's things happening in your life. Well, God's saying, hey, the last thing I asked you to do is repent of that thing that's causing you that pain. Maybe it is one of those gray areas. It's not necessarily sin, black and white, but God has asked you to do something bold and to do something courageous in the area of holiness in your life. To go above and beyond the call of duty, and you said, no, I don't know, that's not, can't possibly be what you mean. Or maybe you're here tonight and it's some mission that God has called you on. He said, hey, I need you to invite that person to Chi Alpha, or I need you to invite that friend to your small group, or I need you to tell that person about Jesus. And we've said, no, God, you couldn't possibly mean that. Not yet, not now, maybe later. I think God speaks to us a lot more than what we give him credit for a lot of times. And here's the deal is that there's delayed obedience, guys, is still disobedience. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. There's no such thing as delayed obedience. It's actually kind of an oxymoron if you think about it. Delayed obedience is disobedience. The Israelites' plans were obviously frustrated. And I think a lot of times what we end up doing, I want you to hear this, a lot of times we end up blaming God for a bumpy road that we're on that he never asked us to drive down in the first place. We started down that road, and he's like, and you're like, God, I can't believe I'm walking through all this. And he's like, yeah, I'm bummed too, man. Because back before you were going to get on that road, I was sitting there yelling, screaming, shouting. I said, no, don't go that way. And now you're in the middle of that road and you're ticked off at me. But you know what the beautiful thing about God is? That at any given time, he says, listen, I want to take you back and I want to get you going on the right road. And there might be some residual pain from the fact that you just bumped down that road. You might be a little bit bruised, you might be a little bit battered, but I'm going to take you in and I'm going to give you healing, I'm going to give you restoration, and we're going to start over. That's the beautiful and good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second question is this: what has been my excuse for not doing what God asked me to do? So what's the last thing that God's asked me to do, and what has been my excuse for not being obedient to that? The Israelites had excuses. Well, God, we can't build your house. We don't have anywhere to live. Hello? We have priorities here. But you know what's interesting about this passage? There's a word in there that's really interesting. It says, you are building paneled houses. Now, that word paneled houses, essentially what God was saying there is the only place that you would have gotten paneling from would have been cedars. And cedars would have had to come from a very long ways away. So they weren't just like building makeshift houses here. God wasn't like, sleep outside. He wasn't saying that. What he was saying is he's like, hey, you are putting a lot of time and a lot of effort building really nice paneled houses for yourselves. And over here, my house remains in ruins. And I think we come up with a lot of excuses to delay our obedience to God. Maybe it's a wrong interpretation of Scripture, right? We say like, well, I know it says that in the Bible, but like contextually, I don't know if that's what it means. Guys, if it says it in Scripture, we don't have a choice, right? If we want to be obedient to God, we don't have a choice. If it says it in God's word, we have to say yes. And we have to say amen to what it is that God says in his word. Otherwise, if we throw one part of this book out, we have to throw the whole thing out. We got nothing. Maybe the excuse has been, well, God, it's just the wrong season. I'd follow you in the way that you've asked me to follow you, but man, that would mean being distracted from school. It would mean giving up a few hours at work. It would mean rescheduling my schedule. It would mean giving up maybe a friend or two or interactions with friends or two. And this is just a season of life that I'm in. God, I'm 18 to 22 years old. I mean, I'm supposed to have fun right now. This is the season for that. I'm supposed to do what I want. I'm supposed to make stupid decisions and learn from them later. And God's like screaming like, no, it's going to cause you pain. It's going to cause you trouble. It's going to cause you strife. Sometimes we make the excuse that, well, God, right now is just not the right timing. I'm just really busy today. And sometimes we think, well, God, that's not really the opportunity. We think that we make the excuse that that's not the right opportunity or the right position. Somehow we wait for God to like give us this exact thing, the exact thing that we would like to do or that we would like to be. Or we look and we like, well, okay, if I could just lead a small group in Chi Alpha, if I could just do that, then I'd be walking in obedience. And it's like, God's like, no, no, the last thing I asked you to do was invite your friend to your small group. And you haven't been willing to do that. The last thing I asked you to do was respond to the correction that your small group leader gave you. And you haven't been willing to do that because you're not teachable. How can I entrust more to you if you're not willing and able to be faithful in the small things? Because the devil's very crafty, and he'll help us come up with an excuse every single time. I want to share a story with you guys about my life in this area. I've shared some like dating stories in the past, and I made some dumb decisions when I was dating people. And I remember I think I shared a part of this story during Love, Dating, Relationships talk, but I think it illustrates this point well. I was a senior in college, and I was about to graduate, and I was single, and I was very, very worried about that. Because only losers graduate from college single. That was what Steve thought, all right? And I had it in my brain that I was going to graduate from college and have at least be, like, close to being engaged. And I was a single guy, and I was like, no, it cannot be, right? And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, Steve, I need you to relax. And I need you to just trust me. And just let go of dating until the end of your senior year. And I was like, no, it cannot be. I'm admitting defeat, right? And I wish I could tell you that I was obedient to the call of God in my life in that moment of my life. Because I made a stupid decision, and I started pursuing a young lady. And in the process of doing that, I got about a month in to going on some dates with her. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit thankfully reminded me and said, Steve, remember what I told you? And I said, shoot, you're right. There's a reason this relationship hasn't been going the best. And I had to end that relationship. And in the process of doing that, I really hurt the young lady that I was pursuing. Because I had to admit to her that I had been disobedient to God. And it hurt bad. And so in the process of my disobedience, I caused damage not just to my own heart, but also to her heart. Now, the crazy part about this story is that I met Aaron 1 week after I graduated from college. Had I not walked and turned around down, when I started down that bumpy road, had I not heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and responded to the Holy Spirit, had I just continued to do my own thing and said, nah, God, you couldn't have really been that serious about that call. Had I not listened to God, I would have missed out on the greatest gift that God has ever given me. Outside of salvation, obviously, right? Because I cannot imagine. That's my heart behind this message tonight. Is God has some incredible covenantal blessings for you that when we walk in disobedience, we miss out on. And that leads me to my last question, and that's this. Have I properly weighed the cost? Have I properly weighed the cost of my disobedience? Is there a cost to following God? Yes, there is. Jesus makes that very clear that if we are to follow him, we have to literally give up our lives, take up our cross, and follow him. But the cost of following Jesus is far less than the cost of disobedience, guys. It's really quiet in here tonight. I'm going to trust that that means that the Holy Spirit's doing some convicting. Matthew 13, verse 24 says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field." He's a wise guy, right? I'm sure people are like, what are you doing, dude? You're crazy. It's like, oh, you don't know what I hid underneath that rock, right? Why does Jesus tell this story? Because he's communicating to us that following Jesus requires a cost. Obedience has an upfront cost, but the back end reward is greater than anything that we could have ever imagined because it is us stepping into the fullness of our God-given destiny through Jesus Christ. I think so often we make hurdles bigger than what we make the hurdle of obedience way bigger than the reward on the other side of obedience. Because do we really trust God enough to say, yeah, if I follow your will, if I follow your will, your promises are going to follow. So I don't know where it is for you tonight, if it's just the following Jesus for the first time or repenting of a sin struggle that you have had in your life for a long time or giving up something that you know is not God's best for you. It might be permissible. It might be permissible, but it's not beneficial for your life. Or maybe it's something that God has said, man, I need you to go and do this thing. I want you to be on mission with me, and we haven't been willing to do it. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to invite the worship team back up. I feel like we need to have a little bit of extra time to respond tonight. And so, we're gonna go into this a little earlier than I had anticipated. If you're, guys, I want you to know that the God is excited for you to say yes to him tonight. He really is. And not because he is some cosmic killjoy, not because he's sitting up there like, oh, I can't wait to control you, or I can't wait to finally be able to just turn you into a robot. What he's saying is he's like, hey, I cannot wait to finally be able to pour out the blessings that come from being in the center of my will. And for some of you, that means that you're going to need to make a really difficult decision tonight. So let's go through this. If you're here tonight and you say, yeah, God's been asking me to make him my Lord and my Savior, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've made that decision in the past and you've allowed it to grow cold and stagnant, but tonight you'd like to get your life right with Jesus and say, yeah, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. If that's you tonight, I want you to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and to believe it in your heart. And I want you to follow that up with telling somebody about it. And I want you to just say, Jesus, I realize that you died for my sins and I'm ready to serve you with everything that I have. If you're here tonight, my second question is this. If you're here tonight and you have something that God has asked you to do, you've made an excuse or you've made the cost of the field greater than the treasure in it, might be something that you need to walk away from, and whatever. I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to us right now, and so I'm just going to let him do his thing. If that's you tonight, I want you to just to make that commitment to God. And then I want you to tell someone about it and say, this is what I'm going to do, to have some accountability so that the devil doesn't whisper an excuse in your ear when you leave this place that you listen to, okay? And if you're here tonight and God hasn't asked you to do anything for a while, you're sitting out there right now and you're just kind of like, nah, this doesn't really apply to me. Yes, it does. In fact, he's telling you right now that you need to correct that attitude. Because what that should reveal in your heart is that there might be a spirit of pride or a inability to be teachable in your heart. This message is for every single one of us tonight, myself included. And so whatever it is that God is asking you to do, we're going to talk to God about it, we're going to tell someone about it, and we're going to get prayer tonight, okay? So that might be finding your small group leader here in a little bit. Might be finding them after Chi Alpha. Might be coming back to the back of the room where we're going to have our prayer team ready to pray with you. But whatever it is, we're going to respond tonight. Because obedience requires a response. Delayed obedience is not obedience. It's disobedience, right? So we're going to do something about it tonight. We're going to strike when the iron's hot. You've heard me say that a lot. There's some specific things that I believe God wants to speak to tonight. We believe that the Holy Spirit, Chi Alpha, we believe that the Holy Spirit can speak to us about specific things going on in other people's lives, because the Holy Spirit wants those individuals to know how much we care, how much he cares about them, okay? So I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying that there's someone in here tonight that you have a broken relationship with a family member that God is calling you to forgive. In fact, specifically, I believe that there's someone in here tonight that the last recollection, that the last memory that you have of your dad is him driving away in a car, and you have not talked to him or seen him since. And God is asking you tonight to forgive him for whatever it is that he did. And that might not mean that you just like have to welcome him back into your life, but you need to forgive him tonight. There's someone in here, I believe, tonight that someone brought correction into your life and you've been mad at them ever since. You've ignored their correction. You've been angry with that individual ever since. It's actually severed, kind of almost severed the relationship with that person. And God wants you to respond to what it is. They might not have handled it in love. They might not have handled it the right way, but they maybe spoke some truth over your life and you need to respond to that truth tonight. And then the last thing is I'm going to invite my friend Bree up here. She felt like she had a word from the Lord, and so she's going to share that. Go for it.
During worship earlier, I felt like the Lord spoke to me that there's someone here named Bethany who just really needs to know that God is for her. And God just wants you to know that he never violates his character. And his character is love. And love is correcting, and that's why he's correcting you and redirecting you. So if that's you, I would love to pray with you. You can come find me in the back.
Awesome. We're going to pray. We're going to talk to God. We're going to tell someone about it. And then we're going to pray. All right? Does that sound all right? All right. Lord, we thank you that you love us enough to ask us to do bold things that are not comfortable for us. God, I know that with people that I love very dearly, it's very difficult to talk to them about things that need maybe some correcting in their life. But God, you love us so much that you say, man, I need to tell this individual about this because it's going to put them back in the center of my will where my blessing flows. And so, God, I just pray that we would have the courage and the tenacity tonight to say yes to you, regardless of how hard it might be, how badly it might hurt in the temporary, no matter what it is that we might have to give up, no matter what it is that we might have to commit to. Lord, would we just say yes to you tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing some worship songs, but please, this is an interactive time. So if you need to find your small group leader and talk to them, if you need to pray with someone in the back of the room, please come find us. We're going to talk to God. We're going to tell someone what he's talking to us about, and we're going to pray together, okay? So feel free to mingle about the room. Do not feel glued to your chair tonight, okay? So you can start moving even now as I'm saying this. This area, there's area in the sides, area in the back, area up here. If you need to sit and pray and talk with someone or just have a moment with Jesus, that's fine to do. So let's just use these last about 10 minutes here to just kind of respond to what it is that we're talking about.